Well, Airport was the only public school.
Yeah.
In the country.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's Tuesday, June 9th. We're visiting with Bob David Schilfer at Cascade High School. And usually, Bob, when I talk with people, I just start back maybe when you were going to Loris. And at that time, and you were looking eventually for employment. So what happened then?
Well, Father Lon, I stopped up at my, I was going to summer school there. It was in the summer of 1961, and he said he was interested in finding somebody to come out here to teach here. And I was a good friend of Bernie Hayek. In fact, we finished summer school the same way, and he was hired up at Lansing St. George. And Father Lon asked me if I was interested in coming out here, so came out here, and Father Bob Kolb was the executive coordinator.
Okay.
And he said, "Will you at least stay 2 years?" But it was, but that's how I actually, Father Lon came in there and asked me if I was in. At the time, I was on a reserve unit that was on alert there.
Okay.
Army Reserve unit, and I said I could be called up any time, you know. So, but I was never called up. And
okay. Well, that was. What was your first assignments as far as teaching and?
Well, I taught mostly business courses. I taught at that time they called it typing, not keyboarding, and. I taught, at that time, they called it bookkeeping, not even accounting, and it was mostly business courses when I first started out.
Yeah, okay.
And then I helped Joe Tavi with sophomore basketball, and then I started track in the spring of 62.
Was that when was that the first year for Aquin? I mean,
61, 62, the first year.
First year, okay. And so then you got involved with Otavi and Joe and the coach of the basketball,
right?
And so you started the track program.
I started the track program.
You had no track.
No. We measured out a 440-yard back of the school there, and that's the way you ran all the time until Aquin closed.
What was the motivation for getting the program started? Was it something you were ready for?
Well, I was pretty active in track at high school, and I ran a couple years at Loris. And actually, there wasn't much, you know, other than baseball and basketball for sports in here. And I kind of asked different people if they were interested in starting a track program, and they said they were. And at that time, I think, I don't know if Don Herbstson started the same year I did or a year after.
Like a year after.
And then he started the Western Dubuque, so the two of us probably had the only track programs around here, other than the Dubuque schools.
Yeah. What, were there many lay teachers besides you and Joe?
There was a home ec teacher. I think those that early years, I think there was just three of us that I can remember.
Okay. And so you continued with basketball?
Yeah, and then Joe was here just 2 years.
Okay.
And then Earl Olson took his place.
Okay.
And he was here 5 years.
He was here five, okay.
And as I said, there really was a lot of changes there because some of the people had four coaches in 4 years. Because then Bob White came in, and he was just here 1 year. And then Bill Steyer came in, he was just here 1 year. And then Al Marshall came in. And
he's been here forever.
He's been here, yeah. In fact, most people probably can't remember when anybody was here other than Al Marshall.
Well, I can't, obviously. But what are your memories of the Eastern Iowa Conference back then?
Oh, I mean, it was really a great conference. Everybody got along well, and we'd have an annual meeting every year, and it was either held in the Club 528 or at the Avalon, and we had a great time. Okay. Ralph Buckman was chairman of it.
Yeah.
And he set up everything and just did an outstanding job. And a lot of the tournament games are on Sunday, and he said, that's fine, we can't play on Sunday, but we'll host it and this and that. And oh, we had, I know one time at our place, I don't know what the seating capacity was of that those days, maybe 800-900. We had 1,400 people.
Oh yeah,
Under the baskets and out in the hallways.
Yeah, that was. There was some. I remember the Sunday tournament games were hugely popular, hugely attended. Back then, of course, wasn't much competition for entertainment besides that, and so on. But I always remember when, Bob White and Earl and Bill Steyer, of course, for the year, he was here. And we at St. Joe's, we always had a very vociferous individual, Don Moran, who sat behind the bench and harassed the coaches from...
I remember Don well.
...from Cascade, and he tried to get on Earl and Bob. He'd go, Bob White. So how about your involvement in the theater?
The first year I was here, Father Liebenhagen had the theater, and I helped him a little bit, but I wasn't really in charge of anything. And then he was transferred after that, and then one evening, Father called, invited me up for supper up at Placid. And those were the days, it was gravel roads, and it was a winter evening, and it took me a long time to get up there. When I finally got up there, I found out he wanted me to take over the theater. And I said, well, I'll try it, and because he knew I'd been involved at Lars. And so that's how I got started.
Okay.
And I told him I'd try it out, see how it went.
So was that what, mid-60s or?
Yeah, that would have been probably the second year there, the fall of 62, so when I took it over.
Okay. So you remember any of the productions you had back in those days?
Oh, I remember most of them. Some of the people I've had recently are grandchildren of those I started out with. So.
Okay. Well, that's great. So what about your, during the 60s and then in the 70s, your teaching assignments, did they?
I started getting into teaching a little bit more on social studies. I taught macroeconomics for a number of years. NICC had a program where they got college credit through it. And I taught that for 10 or 15 years. And then I got into teaching speech. And I taught that, from probably the last 5 or 6 years of Akron. Most of the entire years that I taught, 30 years for Western Dubuque. So in some years I had 3 and 4 classes of that. So I got in a little bit of that. And then I got into teaching a class in theater. So I didn't really teach as much keyboarding as they call typing then after that. I taught more in the social studies and in the English department.
What are your memories as far as the transition from Akron to West Dubuque?
It was about as smooth a transition. The room that I taught in on the second floor, probably for the last... 8 years of Akron, I kept that same room, and I basically taught the same classes when we started. With. So there wasn't really any change, other than the benefits.
right.
But it was a great experience. I really enjoyed Akron. We had a great staff and this and that, and everybody was kind of crying when it closed, but. The transition to the Western Dubuque system was probably the greatest thing that happened to me as far, as my career financially and with benefits and, IPERS and this and that. And, You know, some of my friends were teaching long after I retired that stayed in the Catholic education. It's a great experience, but as I said, you didn't have the benefits.
Exactly, yeah. So you're pretty much your teaching assignments stayed pretty much the same?
Especially the early days there, it didn't change hardly at all.
Okay.
And most of the people that taught at Aquin, they hired it at Western Dubuque.
Right.
So there wasn't really much of a change as far as who you were working with and what you were teaching or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, you've had some great competitors, some great athletes that you've worked with over all those years. You remember some of them specifically or early times? And
well, I had, as I said, of course, in basketball, Brian McDermott certainly was the top one to come out of Aquin with that. But, I had a number of people at both at Aquin and Western Dubuque that later on competed at the college level. I had Kim Gerken that ran for me cross-country in Western Dubuque. She later on ran for University of Indiana. And her senior year, she was Female Athlete of the Year at the University of Indiana. So I really enjoyed that. And Kerry Greenwood, that was an All-American at Northeast Missouri, who was certainly one of the highlights as far as track there. And then, of course, Phil Cowder, who everybody knows who he is around Butte County, was one of the great track runners that I've had. But I've been part of some programs that I was very, very pleased to have been involved in.
Where did you develop your program for development for the track and cross country?
Well, actually, cross country was really just kind of starting around the state. In fact, most of the high schools around Eastern Iowa didn't even have cross country then. None of the Dubuque schools had like girls athletics,
right.
And some of the smaller schools west of us had, but we had a hard time finding people to compete with on that thing. And really, cross country wasn't started at Loris until right my senior year.
Okay.
So I wasn't trapped, but I was never actually in cross country at Loris. And I kind of started it to kind of help my distance runners for the spring.
Okay.
And I thought it'd be a good that way, it'd give me two seasons a year. And so it was actually started to kind of help my. I had several real good distance runners then. Dave Strang was one of them. And I think that, getting going with cross country early on really helped our program.
Did you go to any clinics or?
I attended just about every clinic I could. I think I heard Joe Newton speak three or four times, and at that time there were a lot of clinics because a lot of coaches were just getting started into this because when I was in high school, nobody had cross country around where I grew up in Western Iowa, in the fall, if you didn't have football, you had baseball.
Right.
So it was really a new sport, but actually, I really started down here to help the track program.
You know, when we were at Loris, I remember John Mulholland.
Right.
Was a, must have been track because there wasn't cross country.
Right.
But I remember seeing him out on his runs.
Well, he was an outstanding runner. Outstanding runner. But it was all, but during the 1960s, and it really, really started getting. But I remember in the early years there, I'll bet half of our meets were between Western Dubuque, myself, Cascade, and Senior, because Hempstead wasn't even going then.
Right.
and Waller. We'd have quadranglers at Flora Park in there, or we'd actually have track meets on, or cross country meets on the senior track. Because
okay.
They did have a mile team race in those days as part of the fall cross-country season. And so as I said, and then if you wanted to compete in other meets, you really had to travel. I mean, we went to Grinnell, BGM. I mean, there weren't very many around here that you could just compete against.
Well, anyway, how many miles did you put on in yellow buses over the days?
Pardon?
How many miles did you put on when you rode the yellow bus?
Oh, boy. Well, see, in those days, it was all by cars.
Yeah.
And, I remember one year we packed five guys into my car and went down to the state meet, changed in a gas station, and wound up winning the state cross country.
That's great.
Because we really didn't have that bus transportation for the fall sports until we became part of Western Dubuque.
Yeah. Where was the state meets at?
It started out in Des Moines. It was down there the first 5 or 6 years. And then it went to Ames for a number of years. And then it went, Marshalltown had it for a few years. Cedar Falls had it for a few years. Cedar Rapids had it for a few years, and now it's been in Fort Dodge for probably 15, 18 years.
I went out to, my granddaughter goes to Linmar, and her team, they ran at Fort Dodge, and I went out for a couple years ago to the state meet. I was so impressed at the facility. It was just a beautiful day, and it was awesome. Good stuff. But, yeah. Well, as far as getting back into going, West Dubuque took over. You continued from then. When did you retire, Bob?
Well, to retire from teaching, this is my ninth year out. But I kept the drama in the cross country.
Right.
Actually, eight of us of the male members of the faculty retired that year, and so it was about a third of the faculty retired in that one year there. We had a great time. So I worked for a number of years there, with Al Marshall and Jerry Rowling.
Quality people, that's for sure.
Very, very quality individuals. And people that were kind of our competitors at one time. Dick Mesher, when he's up at Beckman, actually was guidance counselor down here in the later years.
I didn't realize that, really. Okay.
We really had a great, great family, Western Dubuque here, with a merger like that. And as I said, it was certainly a great part of my life, and I really enjoyed it.
The construction of the theater auditorium must have been a real...
It was. We had a group of parents who had been in plays that I directed that wanted, their kids and grandkids to have a little better facility. And they just all got together and decided that they were going to have a campaign to raise money, and took about 3 or 4 years, but they got it accomplished, though, and it was a great facility. Because at that time, the only theater really in the area was Dyersville.
Yeah.
Because Western Dubuque didn't have one. We didn't have one. We were both in gyms, And it was difficult in gyms because they were meant for athletics, not for plays. And, working around practice schedules was quite difficult.
Yeah, I can relate to that totally because I finally had the opportunity to go through our... Have you been to the West Dubuque facility since it opened up? I went through it this past fall. And you go through such a nice facility like that, and you think back of all the years of what we had to put up with. And makes you kind of jealous to think that, wow, we could have had that too, maybe, possibly, but never did. So, So you've still been actively involved with theater and cross country since you retired?
I still have been, and I'm going to at least for this year yet. So each year I say, well, we'll see how it goes. And but another big thing too was when they built the track.
Right.
You know, first, you know, it was limestone first, and then the all-purpose track, and it's, you know, it made, boy, in the old days with Hack, when every year you had to remark the thing.
Yeah.
But it's really great. The things that have changed here over the years here, and now this year with the new gymnasium here, it's just fantastic facilities now.
Yeah. You know, when you're... You also do some traveling, or?
I haven't done a lot of traveling. I have done some. Each summer, I'm on the board of directors of the National High School Athletic Coach Association, and we have a week convention every year. And it's been all over the United States, so I've been involved in that, and. One summer I was able to go to Europe for 3 weeks, and always go out to Yankee Stadium once a summer and see a couple games there and see a couple plays on Broadway. And but that's about, other than since I retired, usually in January, several of us go down to Aruba for 10 days.
Cool.
And that's been kind of the extent of it. But you know, I really enjoy going to the basketball games in the wintertime. And I only live about 100 yards from the school, so it makes it pretty nice just to, you know, be able to be still part of.
Yeah.
Now as a spectator, because I was with basketball for 28 years.
Yeah, I know you were.
And I don't know, it took 2 or 3 years to kind of, all of a sudden, almost calling time out in the stands, you know. But, yeah, those are some very real great experiences over the years. I'm really pleased I was able to be, you know, part of the program.
How'd you get to be a Yankee fan?
You know, when I was about in, I don't know, third grade, we had a little league program my hometown there, and I happened to be on a team called the Yankees, and I didn't know what city they were even in. And my brother was with one called the Braves, and at that time they were in Boston. He's a couple years younger. Today he's a big Atlanta Braves fan, and I'm still you here. Yeah. Well, that's how it started. Everybody said, well, you started out with Mantle. No, I was a Yankee fan before America's a Mantle.
Well, that's as good a reason as any to develop a loyalty to.
Yeah, but that's how it started. I
program
back in Little League.
As far as when you went to Loras, how did you choose Loras as the college to?
Well, I went through Catholic education in Western Iowa, a town called Cherokee. And my parents kind of wanted me to go to a Catholic college, at least to start out. And at that time, there were only two Catholic really colleges in Iowa, Ambrose and Loras. Briar Cliff was a college, but it was only for girls.
Okay.
So I took the local priest took us down to kind of visit my senior year in high school, and I kind of enjoyed, you know, the visit there, and I thought, well, I'll start out there and see how it goes. So that's how I actually chose Loras. Most of the people in our area that wanted to go to a Catholic school went to Loras.
That's a pretty good trip. I mean,
oh, it was. It was, you know, 270 miles one way, and that's how it really started.
Okay.
I mean, this day and age, I might be going to Briar Cliff instead, you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, we both went to Loras, obviously, and provided a great experience, great education for us. And I just remember all the great teachers and priests that we had as instructors back in those days, you know. And now you think back at it, and realize that it was a great education for both of us.
Oh, well, Father Schrader, who was the drama director there, and I really learned a great deal from him. Really, how to handle people and how to go about teaching them how to act. And then I was out at Cascade for probably about 5 years, and he retired in there. And he asked me to come in and take his place.
Is that right?
And I was. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, we'll see. I really like it out here. But I did. I went in there for a year, but I still kept directing out here in Cascade. So I really had a busy year that year. But I was in Dolores for 1 year.
Really?
But at that time, I didn't have my master's degree yet. Mm-hmm. I thought, no, I better stay out in Cascade and keep going to summer school. So I never went in there full time. I'm really glad that I didn't, because I really enjoyed the Aqua days and then later on the Western Review days.
I remember him as kind of being a real flamboyant personality.
he kept you on your edge, I'll tell you, at the seats all the time in the class.
King Carl?
he was quite a man, but he, as I said, very intelligent, very well-versed in theater, and I learned a great deal from him.
Yeah. Anything else as far as those early days in Cascade? When I was at St. Joe's, of course, and I remember all of the trips, basketball trips, and we'd go to games wherever, through the weather, whatever it was, those schools, a lot of schools, of course, closed back in the 60s that we used to play. And, of course, Beckman opened up. That made a big difference. But I always remember, playing you guys, Aquin, and there was always a battle no matter where it was.
Oh, it was. There was great competition those days.
But, to me, back then, it was such a thing that you tooth and nail every game, but after the game, should we go get together someplace?
Oh, yeah.
Have a beer?
It was great. In fact, we always used to play Marquette and in the Aquin days, and I got to be a really good friend of Larry Takis, and We went head-to-head basketball for probably 7 or 8 years, and afterwards we'd all go up to his place and have a few drinks, and it's just a great. And then later on he came to Cascade, and he was in Cascade here for probably 15 years, and then he passed. He was in a car accident. Yeah. And was killed here.
So Larry was at Marquette. I didn't realize.
Pardon?
Larry was at Marquette.
Oh yeah, he was a sophomore basketball coach at Marquette.
Okay. I guess I didn't make that connection.
Yeah, in fact, he was down there when Wayne Chandley was down there.
Okay.
He looked back. He was down there quite a while there.
Okay.
Yeah, that some great times there. But some of those games I can remember at Farley, when Don Moran would be shouting out there. Oh, it was. In those days, basketball around here was, because nobody had football.
Right.
And there was no girls' athletics.
No.
So in the wintertime, it was the only game in town.
That's right.
And it was really a community event,
My favorite memory of a game at Farley is with West Dubuque, the year that, Wick was still coaching the boys. And we play him in January, and so we're playing the game. It's the second half, and Father Dan Kepler was our assistant, and it was fourth quarter timeout, and so I got my kids there, and all of a sudden the door opens, and Father Kepler comes walking in, and goes right past our bench, and goes over to the Wicks bench. I found this all out afterwards. Corey goes and he said, "Tom, I just got a call." "Your house is on fire." He said, "Everybody's okay, but your house is on fire." And so Tom, he looks up at the scoreboard. It's tied with 2 minutes to go. And he said, "Hey, Hermie, you go check that out."
Oh,
is something. I never heard that one before. That is something.
That was pretty awesome stuff.
One of the things that is a memorable event. See, we had Don Hertz and I really of the EIC went to track the last few years there that we were still EIC. Independent St. John's had a team, and Owine had a team, and this and that. But we had the only really, teams that had events. Anyway, we had a conference meet up at Epworth. Yeah, that was anyway. And it turned out, unbelievable, 87.5, 87.5.
Oh, my God.
And John Sullivan said, why don't you and Herman, you play it off, run a 100-yard dash. Herman said, no, but I'll go for a arm wrestle. Oh.
That's funny.
Those are some of the...
and I remember the spring, the track season, and being up on that track in April, and the wind just cutting through you, just tearing you apart, running those events, and oh my God, yes, it was lots of good memories.
Oh yeah, as I said, the camaraderie that Ralph Buckman and Harold and Wayne. I mean, it's just been fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the support that they gave me over the years, especially in drama, they would come to all the plays, and we'd talk afterwards, and it's really been it was my privilege really to work with these people, because I couldn't have had better, principals and superintendents.
Yeah.
Over the years, Jim O'Mara became a very good friend of mine, we just really spent one big happy family, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, well, that's great. It's great. Great that you're still doing it.
Yep.
Well, thanks, Bob.
Okay. I hope I gave you some help there.
You betcha.